big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, your host. And this is where ministers come to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today we have Jeff Reed back on the podcast. Jeff is my main go-to guy for church online stuff. I have a lot of guys that I like to talk to for church online, but Jeff is always seems to be available and helpful. And again, I always like to catch up on him in his Florida weather. Him and Adam McLaughlin, although Adam doesn't live in Florida anymore, but I always like to check in on that. Oh, and Jeanette Yates too, as well. She always likes to update me on how much better the weather is down there than where I'm at. But anyways, we're not talking about the weather. We're actually talking about church online and the simple fact that even though church online is gaining in popularity and more churches are doing it, there are still churches and still pastors who refuse to do it for various reasons. And so I get Jeff on the podcast and we start talking about the different reasons why they may or may not want to do church online and how you can overcome that and how you can do that. Because again, it's not about just doing it to do it. There's a real purpose to doing church online. And what does that look like for your church? And how can you overcome that and talking to your pastor and church leadership about that? So I'm really excited about the podcast. I'm really excited to talk to Jeff. So without any further ado, let's get in the interview right now talking with Jeff Reed. All right, with me right now is my Florida friend, Jeff Reed. Jeff, how are you doing?
Wow, I got to tell you, I'm honored to be the Florida friend. That's really cool. Yeah. I personally like the West Coast of Florida better than the East, although I've lived on the East Coast the entire time. Just the sun setting in the Gulf, Gulf of Mexico right there is so beautiful and so relaxing. I'm never up early enough to like see the sunrise over the Atlantic. Like I like sleeping in and don't like, humidity that I see there. So Tampa's awesome.
Yeah, I've been to Tampa a few different times, some for just for fun with my own family, but also with just for visiting. It has. We've gone to the beaches and to see the sunset and or at least it's starting to set. I mean, it's just a really – and it's calming too. It's not like the really big waves that you would get on the East Coast. So, but yeah. All right. Well, I don't have you on the podcast to talk about Florida. Although I'm sure we could talk about Florida a whole bunch, but I want to talk to you about church online because not only are you my main, Florida friend, but you're my main church online friend. I mean, you are the guru of church online for me. And so I really appreciate all your insights. You've got a great blog. You've got a great podcast. So just so in case anybody who does not know who you are yet, just briefly describe what you do and where they can find you.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for that. So my name is Jeff Reed, and so I run a company called The Church Digital. It's at thechurch.digital. There's a website there, and my podcast is based out of there, The Church Digital Podcast, and there's a blog and a lot of content. Honestly, and I was just recording some podcasts today. It's just fascinating. Like I've had a conversation with Danny Hicks, who's the watch party pastor for Elevation Church, and she's like, I'm having these conversations, and people talk to me like we know what we're doing with church online, but we have no idea. and it was funny just the humility of that. Yeah. But honestly, that we're seeing that across the board. Everywhere with church online, you have conversations with her on the East Coast. You have conversations with Jake Kranda over, Saddleback in California. And he says the same thing. He's like, man, we're just throwing this stuff together, seeing what works and what we're doing today might not be in 6 months because we're going to learn something and shift. And so a lot of what I do is have these conversations with people, create resources, try to facilitate learning opportunities so that the church in general can learn from all of us out there who are experimenting and trying church online.
Yeah.
From the big churches like the Elevations and the Saddlebacks to more medium-sized churches. We just did a deep dive into First Capital Christian's Church Anywhere program. We spent literally 3 weeks, three podcasts, number of blog written about it as well. Is there creating micro locations that are very effectively reaching their small town in Corden, Indiana. It's like 3,000 people in this town, but essentially 30% of the city of that town is connected to this church and attends this church.
Wow.
And it's phenomenal results, but they're getting it from church online. There are a lot of it is attributed to church online.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's creating these opportunities and these learnings to say, hey, let's listen, let's look, let's watch, let's see what they're doing, and let's see how we can do something like that. How can you create a disciple who's capable of creating another disciple online? So,
right. And discipleship is such a key movement right now. It seems like in a lot of churches. And the one thing that a lot of people say about church online is, well, it's just, you know, it's just people discovering God and hearing about God and being a part of live streams, but there's no discipleship, which that's a whole different podcast. And we've talked about this before. There is discipleship, so much discipleship opportunities for church online. And what I love about this, and I've said this before, is the humility of the church online pastors, the Jay Crandas of the world, you and many other people that I've been connected with, Ray as well. You know, the humility there is so great because people are really just trying to figure out technology changes all the time. Things are changing and people are just experimenting and saying, we're trying, this works for us. We're going to blog about it. We'll share it with you guys. And that, again, that's what I love about your conversations and your podcast is that you're having these conversations so that someone like me who has five different jobs at my church can really learn on the go on this and really find out, hey, this is working. Maybe we should experiment here. So I really appreciate that kind of stuff for sure.
Yeah. So it's a lot of fun. Love doing that, man. And I love the stuff you're doing with Digital Bootcamp, with this podcast, just straight up. Like you've been one of these strong voices. We were talking about it even off air. I'm a guy who, like, I don't work for a church right now. I work for myself, self-employed. I contract with a number of churches, and I create a bunch of content. I'm blown away by the amount of stuff that you're doing and that you're turning over, trying to be a resource even to other churches. So, man, I don't know if anybody's told you, Tom, thank you, but thank you for doing this and being that resource to pastors.
Hey, thanks. I do appreciate it. I do hope I'm just a part of the conversation that goes on, and I learn all my stuff from you, and I repackage it. Whatever I hear from you, I just repackage it. That's just good. So, all right, Jeff, let's talk about this because I think this is still a key hindrance. And it's funny to say that I think this is still a big problem, but it really is. Of what I've seen locally here with churches that, you know, there's a lot of people that want to go online and do more online and digital stuff, but head leaders, senior pastors or elder boards or leadership teams are still hesitant to go church online in some form. And we know there's many different forms you could do it. So what are some of the reasons you've seen so far too, that in this day and age, we're still having pushback from, no, we can't do church online?
Yeah. So like there's three things I want to hit on in this context. Probably the biggest problem. And when I sit down and talk with pastors on church online, and they, you know, it's like you say it and they wince inside.
Yes.
Like it's the pastor that's like, I love church online because of the missional aspect. And I want to broadcast my message around the world so people get saved missionally because of what I'm saying. But if we could block it so no one within a 20-mile radius of my building could hear the message online, I would be okay with that. Mm-hmm. And so like, you know, and so when you hear that, it's like, I don't know that you totally understand like what this is, but really that kind of seeds what I would say number one is. Number one, I think the word church online has been evolved, or excuse me, the words church online has evolved, mm-hmm. has changed, has grown, but I don't think it's properly communicated. It's like discipleship. You say discipleship and this, you get 10 pastors in the room and discipleship means 20 different things.
Right. Yes.
You know, so when anytime you have the average conversation about church online, the average person, the average church attender, the average pastor is probably going to say something to the extent of, okay, church online, we're talking about broadcasting my services on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a pastor, Tom, and as somebody who's worked in churches for a decent amount of time, you know that there's more to church than just that 1 hour on Sunday.
Yeah.
But what's happened, unfortunately, is like probably first off, that's lost in context of online. So like what, and just, I want to break this down. I don't want to make it about NCC, but just what are some examples of things that happen at church other than just that 1 hour on Sunday? What does church look like?
Well, church looks like, I mean, Bible studies, there's service opportunities. You know, there's, you know, fellowship and community opportunities that you can have. So there's a variety of different aspects.
Right. You know, throw some pastoral care in there. And so
yes.
what the church online, or at least in the physical environment, the church doesn't end on Sunday.
Right.
Sunday really should be the beginning of the work week, not the end.
Yeah.
But in context of church online, for so long, it's been, okay, it's all about the broadcast. We're only broadcasting because we're looking at this from a missional only aspect. I'm completely fine if we broadcast our services online because I want people to get saved. I want people to get this content, and I want my spoken word. I want God to use me to change that life in another time zone. Mm-hmm. But when it comes time to, okay, we need to like get them connected into a biblical community, because that's now our responsibility, you know, and the pastors are more likely, no, that's not my responsibility. My responsibility is just to broadcast missionally. It's not to, to do the rest. And so helping pastors redefine what church online is and what church online can be, I think is the key, because they struggle with, it's just about this missional aspect. And they don't necessarily put the pictures together of the pros and the cons, the benefits of the biblical community, mm-hmm. of the gathering. You know, church online so often has been in the average pastor's mind, it's, hey, I don't want, I had somebody say this to me the other day. I don't want to do church online because I don't want to give somebody an excuse to stay on couch on their underwear and watch a service. I want to make them come in. Yeah. Okay, well, there's more to church online than just the broadcast, giving the guy the excuse to stay at home on his couch to watch the service on his Apple TV in his underwear.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, if he's got, you know, kids and a wife, he's putting pants on and not just being in his underwear. But that comes down to there's a level of not understanding from a practical stance what church online is.
Yeah.
And a lot of that comes, I mean, practical is really the number two that I would say. Number one is we don't understand what the technicality is. But number two would be there's this level of practical things that we're not understanding. Mm-hmm. That you people can watch passively. It can be an opportunity to escape. It can be an opportunity to isolate. To not deal with these things, or you create structures in place. Okay, so you don't want to do church online in isolation. Encourage more of the chat hosts. Create opportunities pre-service and post-service to engage with people, to route them into a discipleship process in context of online. Whereas 2, 3, 5 years ago, I don't think there were ways to easily overcome and create these engagement opportunities to draw people into a biblical community. I think today there is, yeah. And we're seeing this more and more right now. And this is just a precursory number utilizing church online platform, utilizing and things like that. There's probably 5,000 to 10,000 churches a week that are broadcasting their services online.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot in context. Okay. There's 350,000 evangelical churches in America. Per CNN, okay, that's like 3% of churches are broadcasting services, doing even minimal church online. But when it comes to like creating biblical communities, creating small groups online, creating dedicated content just for the online environment, the number gets down to like 1 to 200.
Mm.
And so that's improving, but we're still seeing a massive disconnect from that. And largely, pastors don't understand the vision of it. Your small groups pastor doesn't understand is getting his metrics, his approval rating. He's getting whether or not he's doing a good job by the number of people that are coming to the physical campus.
Yeah.
He's not being evaluated on whether he's being successful in context of online. Your campus pastor is, you know, is gauged on the number of people that are at the physical building. I'm a multi-site guy. I've been part of multi-site churches for over 15 years. And I understand the tension of that. But as a multi-site pastor, you're gauged if you're successful by driving those people, by bringing them into the campus. Yeah. Somebody engaging and doing ministry in context of online, that's as an employee, that's not gauged successful. And so there's a small level of pride that says, hey, I want to retain this person. I want to keep this person because that's what I do. That's my job. Mm-hmm. Instead of seeing church online as an opportunity, it's often viewed as a loss.
Yeah.
I've lost that person. This person is only viewing it online. Well, and I'm sorry, last thing I'd say. Yeah. And if the only thing we're doing in context is just broadcasting our services, it really is a loss.
Yeah.
Because we're not functioning as a church at that point. Go ahead, Tom. I'm sorry.
No. This is fantastic because I think you're right on this. And that's what I always try to promote in regards to our online campuses. This is an opportunity. And so when we are a multi-site church, we have two campuses and then a third campus, which we label our online campus. But when I do an online life group, for instance, or an online Bible study group, I'm promoting to all the campuses. And someone said to me, why would you do that? You're taking away from the possibility of them going into a home group. I'm like, no, I'm providing them an opportunity to get connected because for whatever reason, they're not going to your physical home group anymore. Maybe it's because of the topic or maybe because of the time commitment or maybe whatever. But I'm providing them an opportunity to get godly community by being a part of this online. But yes, it looks different. Yes, it feels different. But people are still discovering God and developing their faith because of these Bible studies and because of these life groups. We've seen that happen over the past 2 or 3 years in which we've been doing it. And so I really feel like these are opportunities. They're not hindrances. And I think too many times we look at the hindrances as we're going to lose people to our church. Like, no, people are not coming to your church anyways. We're providing people an opportunity to re-engage in the church because we're talking about stuff. It's on YouTube now, or it's on a streaming service where they could be in their underwear and they're like, well, I don't even know what to watch these right now. Oh, I'm scrolling through my Facebook. There's a church service going on right now. I'm going to check that out. You know?
Yeah.
So I think we provide opportunities, and too often we look at the negative. And when all reality is it's a digital world we live in. It's an online world. We're providing opportunities right now.
Yeah. If I could go back in my way back machine, I had a conversation in 2015 where it's a time I was online pastor at Christ Fellowship Miami. And I, in 2015, I fought hard to call the online campus an online campus, because if it's not an online campus, then what is it? That was the logic I used in 2015. If I could go back in my way back machine and have that conversation again, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I would, because if you call it an online campus, it's just my opinion. And some people disagree with me, and that's cool. It's fine. My opinion is by calling it an online campus, you're really isolating it and you're boxing it in. Hmm. You're limiting it. You're putting a lid on it. Because now people who attend a physical campus XYZ, oh no, online campus, you stay in your lane over there. Mm. Meanwhile, the people who are attending physical campus XYZ, yeah, they're not isolating online and physical. Their life is melded. There's actually a business term right now. I love this. It's called phygital. PHYGITAL. It's this melding of physical and digital. It's creating this unified experience. Hmm. Right now, if I buy something on Amazon and I want to return it, I go to Kohl's. Kohl's right now is accepting returns in their physical stores for any item of Amazon, whether they have it or not. And Kohl's will give you a hand to catch, because ultimately Kohl's wants people spending money in their stores.
Right, yeah.
And so we're seeing more and more of, okay, online is much cheaper. Physical has a much higher, from a business term, a conversion rate, or it's much easier to complete a transaction physically. And instead of creating this environment where it's either physical or digital, what if it's both? North Point, I've told this story before. North Point earlier this year, out of one of their campuses, they opened up small groups, online small groups, to their physical environments. Mm-hmm. They opened up 10 groups at 10 people apiece. Those groups, virtual groups for the physical campus. Let me start over. North Point earlier this year, that entire thing was bad. North Point earlier this year opened up and started doing online small groups, but targeted towards their physical campuses. So they had 10 groups and they had 10 people per group that they were doing this. And those groups filled up within 24 hours. And within that same 24 hours, they had 200 people in a waiting list. Wow. And so, yeah, I was like 300 people immediately without even thinking signed up for an online small group. Mm-hmm. And it was funny. They asked Clay Scroggins, you know, the campus pastor there, hey, you know, why would you do an online small group? And Clay's like, I got kids. My life's chaotic.
Yes,
by the time
yes.
things calm down, it's like 8:30 at night. I don't want to put on clothes and go have a biblical conversation. I'd much rather do it, you know, staring at a camera in my house. Why would I not want to leave my house mm-hmm. to go? Why would I not want to do an online small group?
Right.
And so, and that's there's this melding of don't isolate physical and digital. Yeah. Lots of churches out there, and we're not all called to be the Elevations where we're doing, you know, small groups and life churches across the country. We're not all going to be life churches or Saddlebacks, but digital has an opportunity to impact your people in your city, in your small town. First Capital Christian, it's got 16 micro locations happening across their small town of 3,000 people. Mm. There's an opportunity to utilize Church Online to reach the people, honestly, even if they're across the street from you.
Yeah. Well, I agree. And actually that's a great word, because I actually, I had a conversation with another online campus pastor, quite some time ago, but he was experimenting too with this physical, whatever, I forget the word you said, but where he actually had a physical life group, and then he set up a camera, a phone, and it did Facebook Live or did Zoom or something like that. And then people could feel like they're part of that life group, that physical life group, but they were online. They were in a different location. And so he yep. opened it up, and he said he's been experimenting with it, and it was going over really well. I should probably touch base with him again and find out how that's gone since he's been experimenting with it. But you're right. I think there's a molding now of the physical and the virtual world that is really fascinating. And it's only going to get more evolving as it goes along.
Yeah. And so there's lots of these practical things that your pastors, they don't understand. And so that's coming alongside having some of these conversations, training opportunities, education, you know, ultimately, and this is another Scroggins quote, I'm a Scroggins fan, Clay, if you're listening, I love you. But here's the deal, the digital disruption. And he did this podcast with, a year or so ago with, Newhoff, Craig Newhoff, where he actually, it was the first time I heard the word digital disruption in context of church. It was phenomenal. But the Google digital disruption, Scroggins, you'll see it. It's awesome. But in context of business, the business world looks at the digital disruption as an opportunity. Hmm. And businesses were formed off of this stuff. And they're foaming at the mouth over things like 5G technology and what this is going to mean for businesses. And so all these advances that you're seeing, you know, the business industry has grown from it.
Yeah.
The church, however, they've unfortunately taken the stance of this digital disruption isn't an opportunity. It's an obstacle that we have to overcome.
Yeah.
More people are engaged mobily. So how do we, get them to focus on us in the physical building? Listen, this is a crazy idea. I'm going to throw this out there for any of the listeners. I want somebody to do this and tell me if it works. Here it is. You ready for this, Tom?
I'm ready.
Okay. So in Church Online, we have chat hosts and we have an open text box where we are constantly engaging and talking to one another, making comments, creating an online community in context of the church, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Why don't we do that in the physical building?
Mm.
So like, okay, our people are capable of multitasking and engaging. How many of us sit on the couch doing that on Netflix or Hulu or even just TV? Mm-hmm. I'm listening, I'm engaging, I'm passively, but also I'm able to drive content through that second screen, watching it and engaging in that. I would love to see a church do that,
yeah.
to just merge this together Maybe it's the greatest idea in the world. Maybe it's a train wreck. But somebody take an opportunity to experiment with this, to see, run it for a sermon series, run it for 4 weeks, and just see what happens.
Yeah.
Does it drive engagement? Can you route more information and resources to help people go further? Or is it like a, VHF pop-up. What was the pop-up video?
Oh, pop-up video.
Pop-up video. Yeah. Has it become like that annoying thing? At the end of the day, explore it. Try to take advantage of these opportunities instead of looking at it like, I got to get people to turn off their phones whenever they're in church because they're not looking at me directly. Instead, they're looking at their phones, and the Bible app is of the devil.
Yeah.
So, yes. And that's the problem. There's practical things that need to get educated to talk through, train through on that.
Well, the sad thing about what you just said is that I think some people listening to this podcast won't even know what pop-up video is. And that it's a shame. It's a shame. But the other thing is, it's so funny because I also think about this, people are leaving the church. They're not coming to church. It's not always because of the context that is being presented. I think it's the way it's being presented now. And I think we have to reimagine how we do church. Again, like, remember when Rick Warren did the book Purpose-Driven Church? Before Purpose-Driven Life, he did Purpose-Driven Church. And he made the reference early on is, why are we making people sit in the pews listening to an organ? That's so outdated. Well, in the same way, why are we doing church the same way we did it back in the 1950s and 60s? You know, and again, sure, we don't have hymnals as much anymore. Some of these, we don't have pews, but we're still doing church the same way. Why don't we incorporate digital technology in some of this online relevance? And someone's got to reimagine it. It's kind of like what you just said. Someone's got to do something.
Yeah. So couple of things, and I love that. So first off, I actually had a guy on my podcast, Randy, I can't think of his last name right now, but he's the lead pastor at First Capital Christian, the Church Anywhere. And he made the comment, church online is the new church organ. Mm. And that for years they would use the church organ, the music was the thing in the 50s and the 60s, was the thing that brought people, even in the early 1900s, the music, that was the thing that brought people in. And his idea, and this guy's literally retiring this year. Like this, he's old. He's on that. On my podcast, he basically, he said he's retiring. He's like, we're bringing out a team and there's already a plan. And I'm like, dude, you just said that. You're not allowed to say that.
Yeah.
So it's an old guy and he's saying church online's that it. But in context of purpose-driven church, like I want to talk about that for 1 second. My church, at the time, it was First Baptist Church of Perrine. It was a church that I was a student intern at. Mm. And I was a college student when all this was going on. It was my home church. My church went through a split because of the controversial nature of purpose-driven church.
Wow.
15% of that church body left. Wow. Because purpose-driven church was so controversial. Now, what's interesting in this is that with the purpose-driven split, mm-hmm. two things happened. The people who were not aligned with the church went off to a place, and the churches that they did go with were healthy and were fed well because there was a percentage of people that were now part of that. They wasn't necessarily disgruntled. The churches grew healthily. But the people that stayed at that church were singularly focused towards this purpose-driven ideology. Now, with purpose-driven, 20 years ago in this context, this was a long time ago. But the people were focused towards doing the mission. And as a result of that, the church grew phenomenally because the people who were left after the split were. Yeah. In our context today, there are people who are going to struggle with this idea of church online. But at the end of the day, if all our concerns are just practical concerns, there are ways to overcome that. Unfortunately, there's one more thing that we need to hit on in context of this, is that some of your pastors have theological concerns over church online. Yeah. because they believe that church online is not capable of being ecclesia. And so in context of ecclesia is like the gathering of people together. Mm-hmm. And even like there are pastors today who will tell you that a multi-site church is not ecclesia.
Right.
Because the biblical definition of a church, some would believe or some would interpret to believe, that a biblical definition of church is one group of people in one area. Mm-hmm. Some would even say that a church that does two services, like a 9 and 11 on Sunday, that's not church. That's really two separate churches, because it's truly defined as one group of people in one area. At least that's their interpretation.
Yeah. That's a hard one for me, because we're multi-site, and one, we're not two services, we're three services. But I get that. You're right. There is a theological component, again, especially for, I hate saying this, but for older pastors and older generations and ones who are more ingrained in the theology of things. And so that's harder for me to not, I hate saying this, shoo away, you know, like that's not important, but it is important. And it is going to cause people to not want to do church online. So I can appreciate that. So yeah. How would you overcome that?
Well, the first thing to really dig into is consistency. So if somebody's like, I'm not okay with, I don't think you can do online ecclesia, but your multi-site and your multi-services, your theology is not necessarily consistent. And like, I don't want to speak bad, because they may not even realize it. But if I'm okay with doing ecclesia across the street, then I should be okay with somebody gathering together as a group of people in ecclesia 50 miles away, right? I mean, because it's the same thing. The pastor hasn't changed. The method of delivery, honestly, most multi-sites are doing video teaching. That hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the day, there may be a breakdown in what consistently is there. And if they're like, and if you're like, hey, you know what? I can't do, we don't offer pastoral care to the online campus, to people who are watching online. Start offering pastoral care.
Right.
Oh, yes. We don't offer small groups online. Start offering small groups. Yeah. Stop creating. The big thing that people, the pastors have when they're looking online, online creates consumers. It's so easy to just be a consumer of online content. You know, and you're not wrong, but the key holder to solve that problem is you, the church. If all your church is doing is just creating content online, then that's all your people who are watching online are going to get. But we as a church, we're called to do more than that. The work week for the church doesn't end on Sunday. It right. begins on Sunday. We talked about that.
Right.
So if all we're doing is just doing our services, then yeah, all we're doing is content. And theologically, that's not ecclesia. That's not the gathering that we're called to biblically. So we shouldn't be doing it.
Right.
If that's all you're doing, though, hey, start providing pastoral care. Start providing service opportunities. Start providing online small groups, biblical communities. Start doing these things that make the Bible, that make the church in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And you know what you'll find is that you're going to start moving away from creating consumers, and then you're going to start finding ways to get these people engaged in ministry. Right. I mean, biblically, James 5:22, don't just hear the word, I'm inserting the word online, do what it says in real life.
Yep.
Let's stop just providing this stuff so people can hear the word online, but give them opportunity to do what it says in real life.
Right. And I love that. And again, you people are going to think of the negative things, think of the things that are going to prevent them. Again, as we talked about earlier, these are opportunities. They're even opportunities for more people to serve in your church, because you're providing them opportunities to, whether it be a chat host or whether it be an online life group leader, you're providing other people opportunities who may not be able to serve opportunities as well. So I really like that aspect.
Yeah. The average pastor today would say, oh, if they do online, they are abandoning biblical community. And Bible says in Romans, don't abandon meeting together. And I agree with the verse wholeheartedly. My challenge to it, though, is if you do church online right, it's not abandoning community. It's the start of a new community, mm-hmm. where we're discipling and we're empowering someone to start a new biblical community, to start a new ecclesia in a different place. Yeah. In context of Church Anywhere, First Capital in Corydon, Indiana, they've got 17 biblical communities around this small town. One of them meets at their broadcast campus, and they've got 16 micro locations in schools, in rehab centers, in prisons, in homeless centers, in houses that are exist as these independent communities. By the way, all 16 of the micro locations are led by volunteers that have been discipled and grown to this place where they're now shepherds leading people spiritually, where they're providing pastoral care for these people at these locations. It's a prime example of not let's gather together. If you build it, they will come. But instead, using church online to get outside of your walls and do and be the church in the community. Go and tell, go and do.
Yeah.
Utilizing church online as the pipeline to get you there.
Yeah. This is awesome, dude. This is such an encouragement, because I really do feel like too often still we're answering these questions of we're asking these questions of why I should do this, you know, and giving reasons why we shouldn't have church online. And so I really do appreciate your thoughts on this. I love your feedback. I love your insights on this. So, man, this has been great. We could talk about this forever, but I don't have forever, unfortunately, today. So we're going to have to pick up on this at another time and talk about many other online topics as well. So as always, Jeff, I do appreciate you you joining me today.
Love it. As always, Tom, great to be here. And man, we're going to have you on our podcast. I was looking sometime in September, so expect an invite, and you'll jump over in my world here in a little bit.
Hey, that'd be great. Well, before I let you go, real quick, let people know where they can contact you once again, where your blog is and your podcast, as well as what your social channels are.
Sure. Social media, it's Dear Fedge, which is weird. It's Jeff Reed backwards. So it's D like a deer animal, deer, and then Jeff backwards, F-F-E-J. Yeah, it's weird. There's lots of Jeff Reed in the world. You don't realize that, but yeah, that's a thing. Blog, social media, blog, all, and basically even my social media, thechurch.digital. If you put a .com on there, no.
Yep.
It's the modern day. There's other .coms than .coms. And so thechurch.digital, you can find my blog there on Church Online. You can find podcasts weekly on Church Online, all sorts of fun stuff on this. And yeah, Tom, once again, it's been great to be here.
That's great. Well, it's always a pleasure having you on. So thanks, Jeff, so much. And enjoy that Florida weather you got down there.
Yes, sir.
All right, so there you have it, my conversation with Jeff. A little bit longer conversation, but a great conversation, because, again, church online is one of those things where you have really strong opinions, honestly, on either or. Should you do it or should you not do it, and why not? And again, as technological and as digital as this world is, there's still a lot of churches that refuse to do it. And, you know, so we kind of just talked through some of the thoughts of why you shouldn't do it or why you should do it, and the reasonings behind that. So I would love to hear your thoughts on this. What did you think of the conversation? What have you heard? What are some of the excuses you've heard about not doing church online? And how have you kind of navigated through that? Especially if you guys are doing church online, how did you navigate through it? I would love to hear from you on that. You can hit me up on Twitter at TA Pounder. I would love to continue this conversation online. All right, heroes, well, that wraps it up for another episode of the YM Sidekick podcast. As always, you can go to iTunes and subscribe to this, or Spotify and subscribe to it, or you could even go to ymsidekick.com. There I've got the blog, the podcast, the vlogs. I've got information about Twitter and the Twitter ebook, as well as information about Digital Bootcamp, the free Facebook group that's designed to help ministers learn digital tools and tips and tricks. How to communicate our message of Christ to other people, again, just as average Joe ministers. We don't have to be social media managers or church communicators. We can just be campus pastors or student ministers or children's ministers or worship ministers. We could be any kind of minister, paid or volunteer. You can find out all that information at ymsidekick.com, and so I would love for you to check that out as well. All right, heroes, well, I hope you have a great rest of the day, a great rest of the week. And until next time, have a great one.